Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all. This is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
We're going to get back to the Chiefs here in a bit, but can you imagine you had such a bad cookie opinion that the traffic lady just had a silent protest? Rob, what happened? I think Rob set me up. So after the segment was over and then the traffic started playing, Rob kind of looked at me, smirked, and then walked off. That's what he did. For those of you that seen The Wire, it was kind of like whenever Cheese looked at Prop Joe for the last time because he was setting Prop Joe up. That's how Rob looked at me. And he just left. And then I'm just sitting here. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I don't do the traffic. How are the people driving right now supposed to know what's happening on the roads right now? They didn't get any guidance or any assistance. They have no clue. Now they're driving into traffic jams and accidents because we didn't do what we were supposed to do, getting these people the proper information out there on the highways and byways in the metro area.
I don't know what happened, but all I know is I just storm out in anger after your Chip Ahoy take, so...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you like a system
cookie. I'm sorry
if
you got stuck on 71 Highway, but you out here eating sawdust cookies like you're 107 without teeth is just despicable behavior.
I didn't know that you were going to come on here and say Brock Purdy was the best quarterback in the league. I didn't know that. That's not what we planned today when we were going through the show. And I tell you what I think, and then you tell me what you think. I had no clue you were going to argue that Ryan Tannehill's a Hall of Famer. I didn't know.
Your cookie take was like the Chiefs with Scott Pioli. Well, Ricky Stanzi in the fifth round can be a starter. You're nuts. Take one in the first round.
Okay, well, you know what? Oreos are like Brody Croyle. They had great college promise.
Hot girlfriend. That's
they
what Brody Croyle
the pros,
had.
No wins, zero wins, not a single win is what Brody Croyle had. Not a one. Right now we have a poll up if you would like to vote in the poll. I threw this question out there just as a, fun, hypothetical, whatever you want to call it. Tyquan Thornton has only two targets in their last three games. Since Rashee Rice has come back, Tyquan Thornton has not been a part of their offense. The Chiefs don't have a sixth round pick right now. If a team called you and said they really like Tyquan Thornton and offered you a sixth round pick, would you be interested in trading Tyquan Thornton for a sixth round pick? Right now, the no votes are overwhelming. Just decided to throw that out there and see what you guys think. If you want to vote in the poll, you can certainly do so. If a team offered a sixth round pick for Tyquan Thornton, what would you do? The trade deadline is coming up on November 4th. Here's what Fesco had to say.
The trade stuff is interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday that's close to the situation about the trades. I'm like, where are we here? What's going on? And quiet, silent, cold out there was the word that I got. Cold. There's nothing going on right
Accurate.
Now. Yeah, exactly. Misty. Like, you look at the weather right now today, that's the trade market in the NFL right now. And I texted back. I go, teams aren't willing to admit they suck yet. And the response was LOL, right? But that's where we are. I think after this weekend, I think we'll see a sprint to the trade deadline on Tuesday. I feel like that's going to happen.
That was Bob Fesco earlier today on his show. He thinks a sprint is going to happen. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be super active when it comes to the deadline. I think they just made their move. I think the move was the return of Mike Pinnell, who was back at practice today. Mike Pinnell got cut yesterday at 1 o'clock and was in Kansas City on the practice field today by 1 o'clock. It was a very quick turnaround for Mike Pinnell. He's going to play on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills. I think we all knew that is a move that was about to happen. I will throw this question out there. 913-586-7965. I got a lot of questions today. This is my question. If you could change one thing about the first half of the season, and for the basis of this, let's remove the Rashee Rice suspension. And also, now looking at the text line, let's remove the Xavier Worthy injury, Because those two, to me, seem like the very obvious answers about what you would change. What would you change? So the answer to me, I think, is pretty clear. I would change the Patrick Mahomes pick six against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Chiefs win that football game if they don't do that. I'm not 100% sure they beat Philadelphia if you change the Travis Kelce interception. I mean, I think they win, but I'm not 100% certain. Yes, automatically the Chiefs win this game. I don't think there's any one individual play in the Chargers game aside from the Xavier Worthy play that I think directly changes the outcome of that game. But I do think there is a single play in the Jaguars game that if you just change one thing about it, I think the Chiefs are in a potentially different situation. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose too many more times the rest of the season. Now, maybe injuries happen. Who knows what's going to happen? But if you're looking at their schedule and the kind of team that they are right now, I think the Chiefs are back in line to be the team we thought they were going to be at the very beginning of the season, a team that wins 12 or 13 games heading into the postseason as the AFC West winner. But I do think if we are talking about down the line why the Chiefs could potentially not be the one seed, I think that loss against Jacksonville is just going to be one of those ones like, man, I wish you could have that one back. So if I had to give my answer, I would change one thing. I would change the interception against Jacksonville. I think there is a chance that down the line that ends up having big playoff implications in a tiebreaker situation or a scenario, especially because we think the AFC is so top heavy and there's not going to be a lot of separation between Kansas City, Buffalo, Indianapolis.
So actually, I had a play in the Chargers game. It is not the injury. Because I think the Chargers game, the way it currently sits, is far more valuable or would be more valuable if the Chiefs had won than lost. I would change that 3rd-and-15 with Justin Herbert. I would have Chris Jones stay outside and it isn't a first down. Because you'll remember, the Chiefs had, despite playing poorly for about 55 minutes of football down in Sao Paulo, had clawed their way back into the game against the Chargers. Like, the Chargers needed a first down to ice down the game, or, you know, when it's grim, be the Reaper, Patrick Mahomes is going to get the ball back with a chance to tie the game, and then you never know what's going to happen in overtime, and the Chargers haven't had a chance to exercise demon, all these things. It's 3rd-and-15. You're not really preparing for quarterback run. And then Justin Herbert runs for 17 yards. He slides. The game is over. The Chargers win. The Chiefs are 0-1. And the Chiefs are now at a deficit with a team they are chasing currently in the AFC West. You could argue one of the reasons why the Chiefs are on the outside looking in of the playoffs right now, and not right now, this season today, hosting a playoff game at Arrowhead, is because they gave up a in-division win. So I actually picked one play from the Chargers game. Now, if you want to tell me, hey, change that one play doesn't guarantee the Chiefs win, I'm open to that conversation. But I will take my chances with the Justin Herbert play going differently, the Chiefs getting the ball back, and Patrick Mahomes having the ball in his hand with a chance to go beat the Chargers, who historically don't hold on to that type of game. So that was the one thing I would change. It would have been the Justin Herbert first down, third down run to get a first at the end of the Chiefs and Chargers game in Sao Paulo.
Another thing that I would maybe change from like a personnel standpoint, what I would possibly look at is I maybe look at like Breshard Smith. Like I think the Chiefs offense would have been helped better in the early portion of the season. I think their offense would have been in a better position if they had used Breshard Smith for the first month of the season. He was kind of a non-factor, and I thought that the Chiefs kind of needed some level of explosiveness in the pass game, and they just didn't really have it in the pass game. And now looking at how they use Breshard Smith now, I'm kind of thinking back to those early games, and like their offense just got off to a really slow start. So he didn't get a target in the first three games of the season. They started using him a little bit against Baltimore, and that was kind of the turnaround, I think, for his season. That also kind of coincides with when their offense started to turn around. Now, other players started coming back. You got Worthy back. You got Rice back. You got all of these different things back. So that's certainly the case. But that's probably another thing from a personnel standpoint, is just adding Breshard Smith early on when they didn't have those big pass catching options and they were looking for one. And I think there was one just sitting right there and they just didn't use them for the first month of the season.
So this is interesting, because I actually had a personnel one written down, but I didn't know if that counted as the season. You know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't sign Christian Fulton. What has Christian Fulton given you this year? I know it's this calendar year, but it was March. But for now, personnel decisions for this Chiefs season, I wouldn't assign Christian Fulton. I would use that money to get an edge rusher. Now, maybe you're not getting Max Crosby as an edge rusher, but I would add more to that because what I've learned is Jalen Watson, Noel Williams, and Trent McDuffie is fine. It's totally fine. So if we're talking personnel, and I mean this is a little bit cheating by me because it was March of 25, I wouldn't sign Christian Fulton. That'd be the other change I would have made to this part of the season.
Text line 913-586-7965. You guys can text in. If you could change one thing about the first eight games of the season, what would you potentially do? Let me know what you guys think. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the midway point of the season, and we'll go through some contenders and pretenders. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up at Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up at Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. We've been talking about the trade deadline. We were throwing a couple of different ideas out there. The first one was from Fesco. He believes that the deadline is going to heat things up here. So today is the 29th. The NFL trade deadline is November 4th. We were asking the question, would you trade Tyquan Thornton for a sixth-round pick? The Chiefs currently don't have a sixth-round pick. Tyquan Thornton kind of appears to be the odd man out if we're looking at the rotation, how they use people, how they don't use people. He only got two targets in their last three games. I understand from a depth perspective, I wouldn't trade Tyquan Thornton. I actually think it's just worth to keep him. He's not really making any money. And to me, the value of having him in case something goes wrong is greater than the draft pick. But Rob is somebody that really values draft picks, so I threw that out there. Bob was also talking about the deadline. I got a question coming up after this.
The trade stuff is interesting. I was talking to somebody yesterday that's close to the situation about the trades. I'm like, where are we here? What's going on? And quiet, silent, cold out there was the word that I got. Cold. There's nothing going on right
Accurate.
Now. Yeah, exactly. Misty. Like, you look at the weather right now today, that's the trade market in the NFL right now. And I texted back, I go, teams aren't willing to admit they suck yet. And the response was LOL, right? But that's where we are. I think after this weekend, I think we'll see a sprint to the trade deadline on Tuesday. I feel like that's going to happen.
So that was Fesco. I was thinking this to kind of in line with what the Chiefs have. So to kind of let you know from a draft pick perspective what the Chiefs have, I would say if you are interested in making what I would consider to be a significant move, and someone on the text line said this, so I'll give them credit for this. Do you want the Chiefs to make a move or a transaction? I think that them going to pick up Mike Pinnell is a transaction. He is not a player that really tilts the scales, but he is a productive player. He can start on this team. He's a nice rotational piece. He played in 30% of the snaps last year. You like Mike Pinnell, right? Like, that's okay. We like him. Did you know the Chiefs have 2 fourth-round picks? They have an extra fourth-round pick because they traded Joe Tooney. They got a 2026 fourth-round pick in hand. So to me, in the same way that you remember, Rob, that the Chiefs traded that additional third-round pick to go get Kadarius Toney because they got that pick because of the Ryan Poles being signed as a general manager for the Chicago Bears, to me, if you're trying to make a move that you think tilts the scales, I think you got to be willing to offer up that fourth round pick that you got in exchange for Joe Tooney. If you're not willing to offer that, then I just don't think you're making a significant move, and that's fine. I don't think the Chiefs are really pressed to do anything. But you're not trading a first round pick at the deadline, a second round pick, a third round pick. So no one thinks they are trading a top 100 selection between now and next Tuesday. But they do have 2 fourth round picks. So you can keep one of your fourth round picks. You trade another one. You maybe trade somebody that can help bolster your pass rush or bolster the defensive line. I mean, that's really it in terms of a player that I think could potentially move the needle. As we just mentioned, they don't have a sixth round pick. They got a fifth round pick and a seventh round pick. If you're trading a seventh round pick for somebody, what are we doing here? That's not a guy that you think can really step in and help you. If they're trying to make a move that you think can really change their situation, I think you got to be willing to offer that additional fourth round pick that they have, the one that they got for Joe Tooney.
I also think something else important to keep in mind, and this is from, is Albert Breer friend of the show? I don't know where Albert Breer lands.
He ain't been on the show in so long.
He was once one of our close friends, and now he's just a person in the media. But Albert Breer puts out today, from the NFL's internal cap report, here are the teams with the least amount of space. The Chiefs come in at 2. They have very little to no cap space right now. Now, I know the Texans about to tell me, well, it's funny money. You can just, you know, goof it up. You can massage it. You can change it. But as of this afternoon, a little afternoon, Albert Breer put out, the Chiefs have $1.85 million in cap space.
You can always manipulate that.
But you're not manipulating it to make $15 million in cap space. I think the manipulation you're going to have is the manipulation you need to add in a Colin Saunders, to add in a Jalen Phillips. Like, you'll manipulate it in a way that will help add in a guy that you are trading for a sixth round pick. So I think the Chiefs are going to hoard those fourth round picks, maybe trade them on draft day next year to get back into the third round, or, you know, maneuver around on draft day. But I think if the Chiefs are going to make a move, which, by the way, I don't think the Chiefs are going to make a move, I think it's going to be small. And one of the reasons it's going to be small is they're a little bit cap hamstrung right now.
Yeah, I feel like, but that's always the situation with the Chiefs. Like, I feel like we're normally in the position where either the Chiefs have a lot of cap space and they usually use that cap space to re-sign their own players. You did that this offseason. You signed George Karloftis to a deal. You signed Nick Bolton to a deal. You signed George Karloftis to a deal. So you signed 3 of your major players, and now you don't have a whole lot of cap space, but where there's a will, there's usually a way. We know there's always a way for you to move some money around in Mahomes' deal if you really want to make a move, which I don't know if there's a player that you'd be willing to do that. I just think that more and more of the signs are kind of proving the Chiefs just aren't going to be major players at the deadline, which I don't think is that big of a deal. I think their roster's fine, and you just kind of got to live with the outcome of what you currently have as a team. But unless something drastically changes with their running back situation on Sunday, we believe that Isaiah Pacheco's coming back in a relatively short period of time. So the expectation is in the middle of November, you'll have your running back room right. And I think they found a good rhythm with their running back room. If you're not willing to trade, I would say, a fourth round pick or better, I don't think you can find proven pass rush at this point. You and I both talked about Calais Campbell. I haven't heard his name come up in any trade conversation to Kansas City. I just don't know if that move exists. Now, it could end up being like a Joshua Uche situation. That's not a player that you and I would have talked about, but it's somebody on another team, a failed first round pick that was good 3 years ago that you get for next to nothing, and you see if you got something there. But I just wouldn't consider that to be a big move. That's what I would put in the transaction category.
So we see this largely the same. I do not anticipate the Chiefs making a move that super moves the needle. I think the Chiefs are going to be pretty stagnant at the deadline. Maybe they make a move in the same vein as Uche, but I don't think a DeAndre Hopkins level of move is coming for this team. And again, I agree with you. I think the team is fine. They have a good roster. They're in a good spot. Like, think about where they were last year when they made multiple moves. Like, they were in kind of a bad spot with their roster because they had so many injuries. So I don't think they're making a move. And I just think one of the reasons is because I don't think the Chiefs are going to be doling out picks for players that, quote, move the needle. Maybe they make a transaction. Like, I like the text line's verbiage here. You know, Jalen Phillips or Joshua Uche types are transactions. They're not moves. But I don't think we're playing the breaking news sounder being like, throw out the rundown because the Chiefs just did this. I think it is very, very, very small moves on the margins if the Chiefs do anything at all?
I think the Chiefs are getting Colin Saunders or they're not getting anybody.
I think Colin Saunders type or...
I think they're getting Colin Saunders. I'm saying...
I know that he's got moved to the 53.
I think they either get Colin Saunders or nobody. I think that's who they get. I'm not here reporting, hey, the Chiefs are getting traded for Colin Saunders. I just look at how they've handled this offseason. They go with what they're comfortable with. They go with what they're familiar with. And if you were, as a team, looking to add somebody in the middle of a playoff push, and you're only willing to spend a sixth or a seventh round pick, a late round pick, if that's all you're looking at spending, then go with what you know. Go with the guy that already knows the system, already knows the scheme, fits in the locker room, you know, fits the, like, then go do that then. So that's where I would be. Either be willing to trade a fourth round pick and really get somebody that moves the needle, or just go with what you know. You brought back Mike Pinnell, you brought back Colin Saunders, you traded for Derek Nnadi at the very beginning of this thing, and we got the band back together. Spags is here, and we're going to make it work the rest of the way. That's what I would tell him to do.
I think me and you see it very, very similar. I don't know it's literally Colin Saunders. Like, I'm less convinced, but I think maybe they trade for some other team's Mike Dana type of player.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they trade for that guy. Remember they added a Melvin Ingram. I think that could still be a play where it's a – or maybe a Terrell Suggs type on the waiver wire. But I don't think it's a can-you-believe-they-made-that-move type of energy. Like, I don't have the text line up in front of me, but over the last couple of days, they've suggested names I just do not think are in play at all for the Chiefs. Breece Hall, no. Will McDonald, no. Obviously, the crazy ones like Garrett, Hutchins, no. I just think the Chiefs are going to make a move on the margin, as people say.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right here, and I guess two questions, and then we can talk about the NFL. We can play contender or pretender. Somebody said, look at Chase Young's contract. Chiefs ain't trading for Chase Young. Number one, his base salary for this year is $14.8 million, so cut it in half. We're at the halfway point of the season. He's owed $7 million the rest of the way. Does anything about the Chiefs make you think that they are adding $7 million of a contract? He also is still under contract for next season. Now, they save a little bit of money, but the cap hit versus the dead cap. But, like, why would the Chiefs trade a draft pick to then pick up dead cap space next year for a player? Like, if they're going to pick up somebody, they're either picking somebody up on a rookie deal like they did with Kadarius Toney, so you don't have to deal with that, or a player on an expiring contract like they did last year with DeAndre Hopkins. The Chiefs are not trading for Chase Young, who is in the middle of a contract and still has another year left and signed a three-year $51 million deal. I just don't think that's in line with what they normally do. Someone on the text line says, does Christian Fulton have any trade value? If I'm another team in the league, I would not trade for Christian Fulton. There would not really be a scenario in which I would trade for him. I just don't think he has a whole lot of value. He can't get on the field in Kansas City, and the Chiefs paid him. So I'm going to take that bad contract off the books for you guys. I don't think Christian Fulton has any trade value. If I'm every other team in the league, I'm making you cut Christian Fulton. Why would we give you anything for him? He doesn't play for you guys. You guys have to sunk costs, cut him. He'll clear waivers, and then we can negotiate a contract with him. So, no, I don't think that Christian Fulton has any trade value at all.
I mean, if he does, it's like the same that Rashad Fenton had at most. Like, you're getting a sixth back.
Fenton wasn't making no money, though.
That's true. It might be what you did for Sky Moore. It's very low. Also, this best Chase Young idea. Do you know what Chase Young might be? First team, all name, no game. He's not the guy in the NFL people think he is.
No, I think he's all right. He's fine.
I pull his numbers.
I
bet you're about to be wildly underwhelmed based on the fact that he was that guy at Ohio State.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Right?
Let's move on.
Right? You think of Chase Young. You think of a guy who, like, oh, man, is he a dark horse for the Heisman?
I wasn't thinking
not that guy.
I was thinking he at least was like a 7-8 sack guy. I didn't know he was a 5 sack guy. That's why I said, you're right. Let's move on. I haven't got nothing to add to it. You were right. He had 5.5 sacks last year. 2.5 or... And you know what? He was all right in 2023. He had 7.5 sacks. He was all right.
Oh, yeah. Almost two calendar years ago. I mean, he was fine.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like quarterback. If you show you can play quarterback a little bit, a team will overpay. If you show at any point you can get after the quarterback, somebody you can always convince somebody to give you some money. He just signed a three-year $51 million deal with the Saints. He signed for $51 million, and he has 7 sacks. They paying that much for 7 sacks? Yeah, no, you're stuck with that terrible contract. Chase Young's 26 years old. They feel like he's older than that.
My favorite thing about Chase Young, do you remember the draft, the Chiefs picked Lucas Niang, and Chase Young, that was the toughest guy he went against?
Yeah,
oh, man. Chiefs Twitter was just in love with that comment. Turns out, I now know why Lucas Niang did so well against Chase Young. He's not that good. He's a good college player. He's not that guy in the NFL. He's just not.
All right, Rob, hit me with a little NFL music. Let's play a very simple game of contender or pretender in the National Football League. I mean, we have to start with the very obvious one, right? We have to start with the Indianapolis Colts. You think they are a contender or a pretender?
Okay, so I'm about to be lame. Can we define contender? Because the Colts are making the playoffs. It is basically a foregone conclusion at this point. And if you're in the playoffs, you are inherently a contender. But are you asking me if they're a Super Bowl contender? Because no, they are not a Super Bowl contender. They are not a team that if I'm the Chiefs, I'm worried about in January and February because Daniel Jones is their quarterback. And maybe someone in Indianapolis will clip this and in January, I'll look like an idiot. Daniel Jones is not beating Patrick Mahomes in a game that matters. He's not beating Josh Allen in a game that matters. He's not. You know what the Colts are? They are the 2022 Tennessee Titans.
I actually think they're last year's Minnesota Vikings, honestly.
Well, pick a team. I was using the Titans because with Ryan Tannehill, you'll remember, the Titans were the one seed.
Yeah, and they had Derrick Henry.
And they had Derrick Henry. And you know what they did? They lost at home to the Bengals, and they were flame out in the playoffs. No one remembers they're the one seed. So they're a contender because they'll make the postseason, but congratulations, you have to hang a banner. But you are not a Super Bowl threat. No, no, no.
You know what? I think you're being unnecessarily harsh on the Colts. I'm going to go with yes for this reason. You can't be number one in points scored and you have, by the numbers, a top eight defense and me then pretend like you got no shot. Now, they're not one of my favorite teams. Of course not. And a lot of it does feel like it's predicated on Jonathan Taylor, who right now is playing like a superhero. You guys know my philosophy. I hate the fact that we treat running backs like they can't win MVP. Jonathan Taylor has 850 yards and is averaging 6 yards per carry with 12 touchdowns at the midway point of the season. We could be talking about a guy that runs for 1,700 yards and 25 touchdowns this season. He is having one of those kind of years. And as much as football's changed, there's always a formula that works. The formula is simple. Can you run the ball? Can you play good defense? Can your quarterback limit mistakes? The Colts are doing that right now. I gotta throw them in the conversation. Why is Buffalo in this conversation and not Indianapolis? Who else would you throw in this conversation in the AFC? So kind of by process of elimination, I gotta say yeah for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm picking them. I think you have to throw them in the contender conversation.
Real quick, you just said the formula always works.
It does work.
The formula you described is Marty Schottenheimer. How many Super Bowls did he have? Because Marty's Chiefs and Marty's Browns, they ran the ball effectively. They didn't turn the ball over. They played great defense. And how many Lombardis are at his house right now?
I mean, I would argue that's what the Eagles did last year. The Eagles ran the football effectively. They played great defense.
They also have dynamic weapons.
Oh, for sure.
You take their weapons 100 times out of 100 over the Colts. And not even just Saquon versus Jonathan Taylor. You think Michael Pittman and last year's A.J. Brown are the same? Come on now. No. And Jalen Hurts is better than Daniel Jones.
But you can also get to the Super Bowl with that formula. San Francisco's done it twice. They've got to the Super Bowl with that formula. Run the ball, play great defense, have a quarterback that doesn't turn the football over.
I also think the formula in the NFC is very different than the AFC.
That's a fair point.
You're not going through
that.
Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. You get to go through one of them once. The Niners, the years they went to the Super Bowl, they had to beat aforementioned Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott's Cowboys. Like, it's very different in that conference.
No, I'm not arguing there. I just, to give the Colts a little bit of credit here, the Colts have scored the most points in the NFL, and it's not very close. Kansas City's offense has been dynamic. It's been on fire. The Colts have almost scored 60 more points than the Chiefs have in the first 8 games of the season. Like, we got to give the Colts some credit for what they've been able to do on offense. They're averaging 33 points per game on offense in the first 8 weeks of the season. All right, I know this is the team that you really like, but we'll see what category you'll put them in. The Seattle Seahawks. Are you putting them in the contender or pretender conversation?
I'm going to lean contender because I think the NFC is kind of soft. I think the Lions are really good, and I think after that, there's a lot of question marks on that side. And that includes, I think the Niners are good, but they have question marks. So I'm going to just dip my toe in the water of contender, but it's a lean, and a lot of that lean is based on the fact that I don't think much of that conference. So I will say yes for the Seahawks because I could see them winning 2 playoff games and then they find themselves in the NFC title game. So yes, contender.
Yeah, I'm going to go contender for Seattle just because I don't really think that there's that big of a difference between six teams in the NFC. Between Green Bay, Philly, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Detroit, and the Rams. Now, I would put San Francisco in this conversation. They just got to get healthy. They just had so many injuries over the first 8 weeks of the season, but I still really like San Francisco. I just, to me right now, you can make a case for any of these teams. Why couldn't Tampa Bay go on the road and beat Green Bay in a playoff game? Why couldn't Detroit go on the road and beat Philadelphia in a playoff game? Like, those six teams just feel so interchangeable to me. So I think you got to go with contender for Seattle. I don't love Seattle, and I like some teams in the NFC more than I like Seattle. But you're 5-2. You got a chance to win your division, and there's not much separation. I think you got to throw them in that conversation. I think we need to start having the real talk about, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba a top five wide receiver in the league? And maybe Sam Darnold is good. We wanted Sam Darnold to prove it to us again. He's proven it so far this season. Darnold's playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league.
I mean, Sam Darnold, I gave a lot of credit to Kevin O'Connell for the ascension of Sam Darnold. Maybe Sam Darnold is just, you know, a good NFL quarterback. Not great, but good enough to win games.
Moving on in our contender or pretender conversation, let's keep it in that conference. Let's keep it in that division. San Francisco, what category are you putting them in?
San Francisco is really difficult because I think with Mac Jones, they're a pretender. Because I don't think they're good enough with Mac Jones. You know what? Mac Jones or Brock Purdy, they're the same. They're the Spider-Man meme. They're the Leonardo DiCaprio meme. I'm going to say they're pretenders.
Why are we doing that with Brock Purdy?
Pretenders. Pretenders.
Why are we doing that with Brock? We saw 2.5 years of Brock Purdy playing like a top QB in the league. He deal with a couple of injuries, and now we ready to just say, what are we doing? Brock Purdy 2 years ago threw 31 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. Since then, he's been hurt. Their team has been hurt. I'm not doing Brock Purdy like that.
Who are the players he was throwing to that year?
I mean, they had dogs. They don't got dogs right now. Everybody hurt.
Exactly.
That's why I'll have to trade the 6th-round pick for Tyquan Thornton. That's why.
Brock Purdy is a fine quarterback if he's on a rookie contract and surrounded with talent. That's what he is. He is – Alex Smith gets a bunch of strays in this analogy, but Alex Smith on a rookie contract with elite weapons, you can win games with that guy. But now he's paid and he's got to throw it to Sky Moore. He's not that guy anymore. He's not going to elevate the talent around him. Kyle Shanahan's great, but – they don't have any weapons out there, and their defense is starting to take on water with injuries. Fred Warner now out for the season. I think they are a pretender in the NFC.
Last two teams here. Let's keep it in the AFC. Let's go to the AFC West, the Denver Broncos. Are you putting them in the contender or pretender conversation?
Contender. 100% a contender. That defense, a coach with pedigree.
I feel like you've been waiting to pick against the Chiefs for months now.
No, I didn't pick against the Chiefs. They're not playing the Broncos this week.
No, I'm talking about in the division as a whole. You've been inching closer and closer to coming out and picking one of these two other teams to win the AFC West. You're just too chicken to do it.
Right now,
bawk.
Right now, the Broncos are leading the division. Their quarterback is playing good football.
And their best player just got hurt.
For 3 weeks. He's out 3 weeks.
That might be the difference. You might be going on the road in the playoffs now because of no Surtain.
One of those games is the Raiders on Thursday night. Me and you could play corner, and they're beating the Raiders on Thursday night.
Please don't disrespect Trey Tucker like that. Please don't disrespect Trey Tucker. They got a tough one going on the road against Houston. That feels like a little bit of a coin flip, especially if you ain't got your number one guy going up against Nico Collins on the outside.
You think Denver is all pretend? It's all fugazi. Oh, yes. It's all talk. Oh, you have fake.
I do. They beat up on a very weak Dallas defense.
They beat Philadelphia on the road.
Yeah, no, that and. That's their claim to fame is they beat Philadelphia. That's their claim to fame. Back when Philly, I don't know, they had a rough 2 weeks there. Philly was struggling to figure it out. I'm telling you this right now, I would pick Philly today if they played the Broncos, if they could rematch that game. So sometimes about when you catch teams, I feel like the Broncos caught Philly at the right time.
Philly was struggling to figure it out, and they came to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs. Like, I mean, it's the same struggling Philly.
Well,
like,
you know what? The beautiful thing about this is coming up in 3 weeks, the Broncos have the Chiefs at home. That's when we'll find out if they're real or not. If the Broncos win that game, they're real. Like, you got to take them really, really serious in the AFC West. Got to take them seriously then at that point. Right now, we're talking about a team that's 6-2. Let's assume they're 8-2 heading into that matchup. Maybe they lose one of these. They're 7-3. So if they beat the Chiefs then and now we're heading into Thanksgiving and you are leading your division. We got to take you seriously as a team that could ultimately
do
something.
I'm just saying, I know we're up against the break. You told me 5 minutes ago the Colts were a contender, and I'm being harsh to the Colts, and they're going to be 8-2, 7-3. We got to take the Colts seriously. The Broncos are doing the same thing the Colts are doing.
The Colts beat them.
With a tougher schedule, and it's
the Colts beat them. They played a game against each other, and the Colts won the game.
The Colts are more of a contender than that team. The Colts won because of a weird penalty at the end of the game. Other than that, the Colts have beaten the Titans.
No one cares
twice.
About context. Did you win? Did you lose? You're worried about the context, how you lost. Bro, you lost. Whenever somebody lose, I got all the, oh, man, I mean, you should have saw what happened. Bro, did you win? You got my money or not? Oh, man, you know I had to pay. I don't care what you had to pay. Do you have my money? Did you win the game? Where are you at with the Patriots? Contenders or not?
Contenders, yeah. Drake May's really good. Drake May's an actual MVP candidate.
I'm with you. He should be in the conversation.
And Mike Vrabel's one of the best coaches in football. Tennessee could have really afforded to keep him.
Yeah, I'm willing to throw them in that conversation. I'm willing to throw the Patriots in the, interesting. Very interesting conversation. Coming up on the other side, there was a story in the Kansas City Star about Donna Kelce and that she ate at two iconic restaurants. So I asked Rob to give me an iconic restaurant in Kansas City that he's never eaten at. We'll find out together what that is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all. This is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
All right, we'll get back to Chiefs and Bills coming up at the top of the hour. If you also missed our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, we'll play that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. So there was a story today in the Kansas City Star. It was about Donna Kelce. Donna Kelce was in town, you know, Chiefs had home game. She was there, you know, Travis had the 83rd touchdown in his Chiefs career. You could see why your mom would be in town. So in addition to stopping by 1587 Prime to eat, she stopped in at two iconic restaurants. Now, this is where the clickbait got me, because I clicked on, I was like, oh, well, where'd she go? I was curious. I want to know what they called iconic restaurants. One was Lydia's. The other one was Joe's Kansas City. Two places that I would agree are Kansas City staples, very, very popular restaurants in Kansas City. So while Rob and I were getting ready for the show today, I was telling him about this, and I asked him the same question. Well, what is a place that you would consider to be an iconic Kansas City restaurant that you have never eaten at? He was thinking. I said, don't tell me. Tell me on the air. I want to find out when everybody else finds out where you haven't eaten. So the three that I wrote down. Now, one of these, I'm not really sure if it's like a chain or not, so you guys can tell me if I'm wrong. The three that I've written down are the Golden Ox, the Majestic, and the Melting Pot on the Plaza. I've never eaten at either one of those places before. I really like steak restaurants, so it's actually kind of surprising that I've never been to the Golden Ox and the Majestic. And the Golden Ox is one of those places every year that I tell myself I'll go on my birthday, and then I'd never actually end up going. I would like to go eat there at some place at some point in my life. I just haven't been yet. Is the Melting Pot like a national chain? Is it a Kansas City local? I've seen it. A lot of people I know have been there and like it. I've never eaten there before.
My understanding of the Melting Pot is that it's a chain. I think it's available in a lot of places.
I wasn't sure.
So I have also never done the Melting Pot, so maybe me and you are in the same, but I have always been on the impression that it is a chain. So I would say for you, you got two. Golden Ox, and by the way, you missing the Majestic is actually – the bigger swing and a
miss. I've been there to get a drink before. I've just never gone downstairs and eaten there before.
It's so close to your house.
It is very close.
I mean, the Golden Ox, at least I understand you got to kind of maneuver around. You can probably throw a rock from your apartment and hit the Majestic.
It's like, not that far for sure.
That one surprised me. So I have one, and there's maybe more. I'm just not thinking of them. But number one that comes to mind, and I'm curious if you would call this an iconic restaurant, but this is the first one that came to mind for me. I've never eaten at Pier Ponce in Union Station.
Yeah, I've never been there before either. That would be considered an iconic restaurant?
So here's my
question.
I'm not
hating on it. I've certainly heard of it. I know it's a popular restaurant. I'm curious if you would consider that to be an iconic restaurant.
The reason I had it listed as iconic, and for the sake of this conversation, is it is in one of the more iconic buildings in town, and it is like the restaurant. I know there's like a little cafe, but it's the restaurant and one of the iconic buildings in town. That's why I put it in the iconic category. If you don't, that's fine. But I would say Pier Ponce is the answer. I've never eaten there before.
Okay, I throw another one here since we're having the conversation. I've never been to Stock Hill before. I've never eaten there before. Have you been to Stock Hill?
I have never been to Stock Hill.
It's like in the South Plaza area. It's across the street from the Plaza Library. I've seen it a few times. I've just never stopped in to eat there.
You don't go to the Plaza that often. Not for real.
I've just never been there before. Someone says Stroud's is on their list. I've never been to Stroud's before. I have been to Stroud's a few times. It's okay.
So when you say Stroud's, we count the original one or like?
I've been to Stroud's.
I've been to Stroud's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to go. Yeah, I'm not sure. Someone said iconic is doing some heavy lifting. That's why I wanted to know what you would count as an iconic restaurant or not. Have you been to the Phoenix? Because I would consider that to be an iconic Kansas City place.
I have never been to the Phoenix. I don't know. Does the Phoenix count as iconic?
Yeah, the Phoenix is iconic.
All right, then no, I've never done that. Someone asked if LeFou Frog is iconic.
That's a good one.
Because I've never been there. That's one I've 100% never been to.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good, I don't know.
I'm just never, and does Brown and Low count? Because I've never done Brown and Low either.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that in the conversation.
I've done Brown and Low at the airport, but that doesn't feel like it counts.
No, that definitely doesn't
that
count.
Count.
No,
that not doesn't count at all.
That definitely doesn't count.
I wanted to put the caveat on there.
I want to play this for you. You'll hear it in its entirety coming up in a little bit. Patrick Mahomes was on the show, and he was talking about how Bills fans, he's not very popular amongst them.
I mean, they don't like us. I mean, they do not like the Chiefs. But I mean, it is a cool environment. I love playing in like historic stadiums. That stadium has had so many great players play in it. And who knows, it might be the last time that we get the opportunity to play there. It'll be a great challenge for us, and they're loud, and that's what you want. You want to go in and be in a hostile environment. That's what football, when you watch on TV as a kid growing up, is the environments you want to play in. And so obviously they're not rooting for us, but you get to bond together as a team and get to go into a historic stadium and play in a great environment.
I actually had a Buffalo Bills thought that I was going to share, but the text line actually made me think of something else, keeping it with the food conversation. We only got like 2 minutes left in the segment, so we might as well just go ahead and food it out. What's the iconic or popular Kansas City restaurant that's not barbecue related that if somebody told you they've never been there before, you'd be shocked? So like someone on the text line, what made me think of this? Well, someone on the text line said, have you ever been to Winstead's before? Of course. Like, I lived in Kansas City my whole life. Going to Winstead's just feels like one of those places. I would say top two answers on the board, Winstead's and Town Topic.
I've never been to Town Topic when the sun's up. Does that count?
Of course. Whenever you go to Town Topic, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that you got to go to Town Topic at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. I'm not saying that. If you told me that you were a lifelong Kansas City and you said you've never been to Winstead's, I would be surprised. If you told me that you were a lifelong Kansas City and you went through the college, high school, going out, and you told me you've never been to Town Topic before, I would be very, very surprised. I think those are top two answers. If we're not including barbecue restaurants, I've never been there before. I think they're top two answers on the board.
Does Joe's Pizza count inside Kelly's? I know it's Guy's now, but it's still Joe's Pizza. Like, because Kelly's,
you know what
one
I actually think
things?
Is higher up than that? Minsky's.
Okay, that's fair.
I'd be real stunned if you were 34 years old and you're like, I've never eaten at Minsky's before. Like, never? Not once? Like, how have you gone this long and not eaten at Minsky's? I can understand that's not your favorite pizza place. Just seems like a pizza place that you should have been to at some point in your life.
The reason I brought up Joe's is because it's not a food spot, but if you have gone, if you're a 40 plus and you've gone your whole...
If you've ever been out, you've eaten at Joe's before,
yeah,
100%.
I'm going to say, and for that extent, if you've never been to Kelly's, if you've never had a drink at Kelly's, maybe you don't love Kelly's, maybe it's not your favorite bar in town, that's fine. If you've never been to Kelly's ever,
that might be Two America's place. I'm just going to tell you that.
Really?
Kelly's is Two
America's? Yeah. It's right in the corner. It's like the most popular corner of Westport.
I'm just telling you, I would Google some Kelly's history, and I think you might understand why some people feel of, I'm all right. I'm not going there. I would be surprised. I'll throw another one in there. Go Chicken Go. Go Chicken Go is another one of those places.
Go Chicken Go, by the way, is, speaking of Two Americas, Go Chicken Go is Two Americas. 100%.
You never been?
I've been. I've been with a KCK person, too.
But Jesus.
I've been to a KCK location.
The way you said that.
Went with a native. Went with one of the homelanders.
I went with somebody from KCK, too.
It wasn't like me and my Burbs friends went out and did it. Go Chicken Go's Two Americas. 100%.
I wish I could answer the way you said it. It was funny to me, like you had a pass. That was funny. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the Chiefs. We'll talk about the rivalry between them and the Bills, and we'll also play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.